परमश्वानुष्टथा पुंसं विश्वाक्षेन कथा सुया नोत्पादयेद् यतिरतिं श्राम एव हि केवलम्। The supreme, the occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. We would like to very grateful welcome all of you to this auspicious occasion where we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the appearance of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami into this world. Today is also the appearance day of Sita Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Sri Ramchandra, as well as Janava Devi, the eternal consort of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how every person must perform their occupation. But in what consciousness and for what purpose our occupation should be executed. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yatho bhakti radhok saja ahait ki aprati hatha yajatma suprasidati. The Bhagavat explains that the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens unmotivated, uninterrupted love for God, for Krishna, within our hearts. Only when this love of God is realized can there be real peace, real happiness, either within our own lives or within society at large. And in this particular shloka that we are reading tonight, Srila Suta Goswami continues that any occupational activity that does not invoke an attraction to hear and chant the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, that occupation is Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It is simply a useless waste of time. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken on the bank of the holy river Ganges. Shukadev Goswami was approached by Maharaj Parikshit, the great king of the entire world. Somehow, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, he was put in a very difficult crisis of life. Crises will come of their own accord in this material world. It is the nature. Whether you are the prime minister or the king, or whether you are a simple housewife or sweeper of the street, calamities and crises will come into your life. You cannot avoid it. With all our wealth and all of our prestige and all of our science and technological advancement, we cannot avoid crises. But Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us that a person in knowledge welcomes every situation of life as an opportunity to improve the quality of our spiritual consciousness. Nothing happens by chance. In this world, for every action, there is an equal reaction. And we are constantly accepting the reactions to our previous behavior in this life and in past lives. And for those who are dedicated servants of the Lord, by the arrangement of the Lord, so many things come into our life. But in any case, if we understand the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam correctly, we will welcome every situation as an opportunity to come closer to Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. Sometimes we have some problem with our business or some problem with our family or some problem with our health, and we think it's so terrible, what will we do? And sometimes even when these difficulties come, we lose our faith in God. Why is he doing this to me? But Maharaj Parikshit, he welcomed with a grateful heart that I have 7 days to live. What a great benediction. I am given the warning by which I can spend these 7 days pursuing the highest truth. He left his palace. He left the comforts of his family arrangements. And alone, he went to the river Ganges with a vow to fast and not sleep for 7 days, but to completely absorb his consciousness in hearing and chanting the glorious subject matter of the absolute truth, Krishna. Shukadev Goswami appeared. At that time, all the great sages and rishis in the entire universe had gathered to hear Shukadev Goswami speak and to bestow their blessings upon Maharaj Parikshit when he required them most. Maharaj Parikshit asked on behalf of all of humanity 3 basic questions. The first question, what is the supreme occupation for all humanity? The second question, there are many religions and many scriptures and many holy teachers. What is the essence, the most important substance to understand through religious thought? And the third and most relevant question to everyone, what is the duty of a man who is about to die? Because we are all in this category. Death can strike at any moment, whoever we may be. We have seen even great leaders within the political arena who are surrounded by so many bodyguards, who have armies to protect them. But they die untimely. And ordinary people just driving in their cars or crossing the street, or some disease can come at any time in this age of Kali Yuga and end our life. What is the duty of a man about to die? And all the 18,000 slokas of this most illustrious and perfect of all scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, is to answer these 3 questions. In this particular verse that we are reading today, it is explained, in essence, what is the occupation that is meant to be followed by every human being. Krishna explains in Gita, Chaturvarnamayastristam guna karma vibhagasha, that the Supreme Lord has, out of his great mercy and compassion, created a scientific system called Varnashram Dharma. Whereas everyone in society, without any partiality or prejudice, can follow the natural occupation according to their propensities, according to spiritual direction, and bring about spiritual awakening in their hearts, within the entire society, as well as great material prosperity. Krishna says in Gita, anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyan anasham bhava. If we please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can supply anything to this world. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he would often tell us that there are so many organizations and so many efforts throughout this planet to try to solve the problems of the world. The problem of hunger and starvation, poverty. The problem of terrible illnesses and diseases. The problem of conflict, criminality, juvenile delinquency, drug addictions, alcohol addictions, the problems of war. We cannot find an end to the problems that face our modern society. But Srila Prabhupada said there is only one problem. A lack of Krishna consciousness. A shortage of God consciousness within society. And is due to this massive forgetfulness of the real duty of human beings that we have created all of these terrible, tragic crises throughout the world. And then we want to blame God. God has given us everything for all spiritual and material prosperity. And He has told us how to utilize those things properly. And we have rejected His instructions. We have rejected the system that He has given us. And due to our speculations and our greed, we have misused and exploited the resources of nature, and we have created hellish situations, and then we want to blame God. This is the unfortunate condition of human society. The Varnashram system has been created so that everyone can joyfully move together forward to make this world the kingdom of God, and after death, for the soul to be transferred to the eternal kingdom of God beyond this material creation, where we could live a life of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Bhagavad Dharma is the essence and perfection of Varnashram Dharma. Athapumbird vijastrestas Varnashram vibhagasha shvanushtitasya dharmasya samsidir hari toshanam. That by following one's natural occupational activities, the goal is very simple to understand, to please Krishna. If Krishna is pleased by our activities, our heart becomes purified by His grace, and the eternal treasure of peace, joy, and love is revealed to us within our hearts. And that is the greatest need of society. For people who are politicians and doctors and lawyers and industrialists, students, businessmen, accountants, housewives, farmers, journalists, whatever our occupation may be, if we learn to utilize that skill as an expression of our love and devotion to the Supreme Godhead, then we can do real service to humanity. And our very occupation becomes yoga. It becomes the purest, highest religious activity. Krishna told Arjuna, there is no need for you to leave this battlefield and give up your family. You work and do your duty in consciousness of me. As an offering of love to please me, that is the perfection of your life. This material existence is like a tree, and Krishna is the root of the tree. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. That the Absolute Truth is the source of everything that exists. Everything is emanating from Krishna. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. But when you neglect watering the root, whatever service you try to offer to every other part of that tree, it will not be truly effective. It may appear for a few moments that I have enlivened this flower or I enlivened this leaf. But in due course of time, everything will dwindle and die. Therefore, real knowledge is to understand how to water the root of the tree, how to serve and please God, Krishna. Because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. These material bodies that the eternal soul is temporarily residing within should be kept clean and healthy for a purpose. And that purpose is not for sense gratification. That purpose is to serve the needs of the soul. We are not these bodies. These bodies have taken birth. They are growing, then they will dwindle, and they will die. But the consciousness, the person, the soul within the body remains the same through all these changes. And according to the science of the Shastra, at the time of death, according to the consciousness we have developed throughout our life, the soul will be transported to another body within the 8,400,000 species of life. But Krishna says in Gita, Antakali samanmama smaranmaptvakalevaram. If you remember me at the time of death, you will achieve the supreme unlimited happiness of your original spiritual existence in the spiritual world with me. Human life is meant for the purpose of developing and cultivating remembrance of God in everything we do. This is Bhagavad Dharma. To remember Krishna is the perfection of life. Why? Because Krishna is all pure. He is pavitra, tribir gunamamayar bhavayar. He is beyond these modes of material nature. And what we associate with, we take on the qualities of that. When we associate with sinful people, we become sinful. When we associate with saintly people, we become saintly. Why? Because a saintly person is always living in the service of God, speaking about God, and loving God in everything he says, does, or thinks. Krishna is all attractive. When we hear the glories of Krishna, when we hear the teachings of Krishna, when we offer our work in the service of Krishna, and we chant the holy names of Krishna, we become purified. Cheto darapana marajanam bhava mahadabhagni nirvapanam. The purpose of human life is purification, to bring our consciousness back to its original natural quality, Krishna consciousness, where there is love. Vidyavanaya sampani brahmani gabihastini suni chaiva svapake cha pandita samadarshanaha. Sri Gita explains that a person who has awakened his love of God, who releases the natural energy of the spirit soul, which is part of God, he sees every living being with equal vision. He wants to serve with compassion everyone. Whether one is a Brahman or whether one is a chandala, whether one is a cow or an elephant, one sees the eternal soul present in the heart of everyone. That soul is not God, but that soul is part of God. And when you love God, you must love every part of Him, naturally. And that is why we find great acharyas and great devotees. How compassionate and merciful they are. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the story of Prahlad Maharaj. His father, Hiranyakashipu, was a terrible demon. He tried to murder him. What was his fault? Prahlad was always humble, always respectful. But simply because he was chanting God's name and worshiping the Lord, his father could not tolerate it. He abused him with the most unkind words. He threw him in a pit of serpents, under the feet of stampeding elephants, into fire, into the ocean. He tried to feed him deadly poison. And Prahlad never even tried to protect himself. Why? Because he had faith in Krishna. That whatever Krishna wants, I am willing to accept. The only thing I fear is that I may forget you for a moment. Because what is there to fear if we remember God? In life or death, we achieve the ultimate perfection. The soul does not die. The whole world is afraid of death. But a devotee is only afraid of spiritual death. To forget Krishna. To act for the sense enjoyment of the body, not for the service of the Lord, is spiritual death. The leaving of this body is a glorious occasion if we leave it while chanting the holy names. After Narasimhadev, that great avatar of Bhagwan Sri Krishna, came to protect his devotee and ripped the body of Hiranyakashipu into various pieces, he offered Prahlad a benediction. He could have asked anything he wanted. If the Supreme God came before you and asked you for a benediction, what would you ask for? Think seriously about this. Many different people have many different ideas of what will make them happy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells the story of how one time there was a sadhu. There's all different varieties of sadhus. Real sadhu means a pure devotee of the Lord. But he was living in the forest, and he was walking long, long way, and he was becoming very, very tired. So he prayed to the Lord, "If only I had a horse to carry me from one place to another, then I will be very grateful to you." So just a few moments later, out of nowhere, a horse came into the forest. And he was thinking, "Oh, this is very nice. God has saved me." And he got on the horse. And he was very happy riding the horse for some time. But that horse was a female horse, and she was pregnant with a child in her womb. So one day she gave birth to this little baby horse. And the baby horse couldn't walk by itself. And the mother couldn't carry it. And he wanted to go to the next destination. So he was carrying the horse on his own shoulders, struggling and straining, walking with this horse on his shoulders. And baby horses are big, if you have seen. Then he began to sing a song, a prayer to the Lord, that, "My dear Lord, I have prayed to you that I would be carrying a that I would be carried by a horse, but now I'm carrying a horse. So this is material nature. Any material benediction you ask from God, ultimately any material benediction will turn around and become a great burden in your life. What would you ask for? Good health, good family, good grades in your exams. This is what people are asking for. Good business success, power, prestige. Prahlad Maharaj said, I am not a mercantile man doing business with you. Whatever seva I have offered is for your pleasure. I expect nothing in return. But Narasimha Dev, Bhagavan, insisted, ask something. It is my desire. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj replied, if I must ask some benediction, then grant me this, that my father, who is the most sinful demon, who caused so much pain and bloodshed to others, who tried to kill me and torture me in so many ways, please free him of all sins and give him mukti, liberation. He wanted nothing else. This is the natural quality of one who loves God. He wants to give everyone the highest benediction of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was such a person. He was such a lover of the Lord. He came to the Western world, to the most sinful city of New York City, which is leading the world toward the bondage of Maya. It is Kali's capital city. And although when he first came, he had no money, he had no support, he had no one who could even understand what his mission was, he extended his life 100% to give these people Krishna consciousness. And however much these people offended him and blasphemed him and made life impossible for him, he patiently forgave them at every step, just trying like a mother to spoon feed a naughty child with the nourishment of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Dharma. And on the strength of his compassion, forgiveness, and love of God, and love for every living being who he saw in relationship to Krishna, he brought the goal of life to millions of people. They gave up all materialistic sinful activities and transformed their lives into every day at every moment aspiring for spiritual purification and doing real good for humanity. Krishna incarnated in this age of Kali as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Yuga Avatar. He came to teach the practical method by which everyone can purify their hearts and be true devotees of the Lord and be true lovers of all living beings. And that is through the process of cleansing our minds and cleansing our desires, reawakening the real quality of our souls through the congregational chanting of God's holy names. There are many mantras, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed from the Vedic scriptures the Maha Mantra, which is the specific medicine for the particular disease that people have in this age of Kali Yuga. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita kalera dosa nide rajan asti heko mahanguna kirtanareva krishnasya mukta sanga param brajait. In this age of Kali Yuga, people are very spiritually lazy. It is pathetic. People will work so hard for a little money People will work so hard for a degree in their education. These things may be required in our life. And if they are done in a spirit of devotion, it is very good for society and for you. But when you ask them to come to the satsang, when you ask them to regularly take the name of God and associate with the Vaishnavas, they don't have time. They put so many priorities in their life, but the necessity of the soul is neglected. We are so busy trying to maintain this shell, this vehicle of the body, and the vehicles of other bodies. But the soul is starving. And the soul of our family members is starving. And the soul of our society members are starving. What are we doing for that? The only nourishment that will satisfy the pain of the soul is to reunite, reconnect it with the source of all love, Krishna. That is the greatest necessity. In this age of Kali Yuga, we must give up this lethargy. We must make our spiritual lives first and foremost, at all costs. And we must inspire our family members and everyone to make Krishna first, because we do not know when death will come. This is love. Love is based on knowledge. In this age of Kali Yuga, people are so much addicted to so many objects of sense enjoyment. They are so greedy. People are so proud. People are so easily angered. People are in terrible illusion. The medicine for this disease of the heart, specifically recommended, is the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And Srila Prabhupada, the supreme physician, traveled throughout the world with this sacred medicine and enlivened the hearts of millions. And we are eternally grateful to him, because he gave us the most merciful opportunity to perfect our lives and to help inspire others to perfect their lives. And after Srila Prabhupada tolerated so many difficulties that no one can imagine, just to give us Krishna, we asked him, "What can we do to repay you?" And he gave a simple reply, "Whatever I have given you, give that to others." He wanted nothing for himself. This is Bhagavad Dharma. Today is the wonderful day of Sita's appearance. I'd like for just a few moments to describe from the glorious life of this eternal consort of the Lord the quality of unalloyed devotion that she exhibited to the world. Unalloyed devotion means to understand if Krishna is pleased through my words, through my acts, and through my thoughts, that is our greatest concern in the perfection of life. We know how Sita Devi appeared in Mithila, which is today, it is a holy place of the name Janakpur in the southeastern part of Nepal. Beautiful, beautiful holy place. And there, the great king Janak was having the fields plowed for the performance of a great sacrifice. And as the plow entered into the ground and turned the earth, a beautiful golden case came out of the earth, and it was opened, the most beautiful goddess of fortune herself, the expansion of Srimati Radharani, of Lakshmi Devi, Sita, in a little baby form, was born of the earth. Janak took her home and raised her as his own princess, and she became the life, the soul of everyone in Mithila, because she was the very embodiment of devotion. Maharaj Janak had the bow of Shiva, and he vowed that it would take someone to lift that bow and string it to take the hand of Sita in marriage. She was the most beautiful of all females in all of creation. And everyone was standing in line to take their try, but no one could even lift that bow. But Lord Sri Ramchandra, with the blessings of his spiritual master, Vishwamitra Muni, lifted the bow and broke it. Even the Supreme Lord, when he comes to this world, sets the standard that without the guidance and blessings of a bona fide spiritual master, we can make no real progress in our spiritual lives. He was married to Sita Devi. A beautiful wedding took place in Mithila, and then they moved to Ayodhya Dham. And by the arrangement of Kaikeyi, Lord Sri Ram was banished to go to the forest. When Sita Devi heard that her beloved Lord Sri Ram was going to live with tree bark on his body as clothes, with matted hair, laying on the ground in the jungles, she wanted to go with him. Lord Ram himself and all the people of Ayodhya were begging her to stay. Here you're living in a beautiful palace. You have servants. You have all opulences. Everyone will care for you and love you. You have such a family. But she didn't care for anything except her service to the Lord. She was willing to give up everything and anything, even her life itself, for the service of the Lord. This is the standard of human civilization that everyone should be striving for. Lord Ram, with tears in his eyes, he said, Sita Devi, how could you do this? You have never seen a hardship in your life. No more silken sheets and soft beds. You'll have to sleep on the hard ground. And there are wolves and jackals and tigers and serpents with venom that are lurking everywhere. And there are rakshasas and dacoits that can attack at any moment. And there are mosquitoes that will bite you and suck your blood. There are so many hardships and dangers. And what will you eat? No longer the fine food cooked by the best chefs of the kingdom, but you will have to eat raw roots and herbs that are pulled out of the ground. But Sita Devi explained that, my Lord, I do not live for these things. I only live to serve you. To serve you and please you, even hell will be heaven to me. But to not have that opportunity, even hell, even heaven will be worse than hell. This is also described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayanas parasarave nakutashtana vibhyate swargapavarga narakeshu. A devotee doesn't care where he may be or she may be. A devotee is simply satisfied serving the Lord, pleasing the Lord, and remembering the Lord. Hearing these words, Lord Ram's heart melted. He could not refuse. And he took her into the forest. And you know the story how she was kidnapped by Ravana in the Dantakarantya forest. And even in the most difficult situation, Ravana offered her beautiful, beautiful luxuries in the golden city of Lanka. He offered her all the wealth, the riches, and the enjoyments of the world. But she rejected everything because she was faithful and chaste to the Supreme Lord Ram. He threatened to kill her, to tear her body to pieces, and to eat her flesh and drink her blood if she did not surrender to him. And he was offering every type of sense enjoyment. But Sita was willing to live or to die, but never give up her faithfulness to the service of the Lord. This is the quality of the pure soul. She is the goddess of fortune, but we all are part and parcel of her, and her devotion is within our heart. What are we willing to give up for the pleasure and service of the Lord? And that is real happiness. That is real joy. She spent practically 1 year in the tortures of Sri Lanka and remained faithful. And then there was a great battle. Lord Ram and Lakshman came to Sri Lanka with the help of Sugriva and Hanuman and others. And Ravana was killed, and Sita was brought back. The exile was over, and she was put on the throne as the queen of Ayodhya. But one day, an insignificant washerman was criticizing that why this Ram keeps Sita? She spent time with another man. And Lord Sri Ramchandra, he established Ramraj, that a leader must be above suspicion and have the faith of his citizens. And he has to be willing to make any sacrifice for the benefit of the citizens of the world. That is a real leader. So Lord Ram told Lakshman that I must banish Sita into the forest for the rest of her life. Some people cannot understand this, and there are different levels by which the acharyas is explained. Lord Ram wanted to establish the principle of a king. For the sake of leading an impeccable life of decency, morality, and spirituality, a leader is obliged to make any sacrifice to maintain the faith of his integrity before his citizens. This is very rare in the political arena all over the world in this day. There is so much corruption, so much secrecy and everything. And that is one of the reasons the world is in chaos. People have hardly any faith in their leaders. If you want Ram Raj, you have to have a king who's a pure devotee of Ram, guiding everyone in pure devotion to Ram. But in a democracy, that can never take place unless all of you become devotees of the Lord. So, Ram approached Lakshman, and he said that I want to tell Sita that I'm going to send her on a nice holiday to the beautiful, beautiful hermitage of Valmiki Muni to spend some time. And she will be very happy to go. But when she arrives in Valmiki Muni's ashram, then you must tell her that she can never return. For the sake of maintaining the confidence of my citizens, I must exile her for the rest of her life so she will never see me again. Lakshman's heart was broken into millions and millions of pieces to hear of this. His life and soul was simply to accommodate and facilitate the wonderful pastimes between Sita and Ram. Lakshman was driving the chariot, and Sita and her maidservants were in the back. And as he was driving into the forest deeper and deeper, and they were approaching Valmiki's ashram, Lakshman was just restraining himself in every possible way to keep his emotions within. And at a certain time, very intelligent, she could understand his heart. She could understand what was taking place. She was so innocent and so pure, and her love was so perfect. She asked Lakshman, "Why is it we are just going on this nice holiday? Why are you weeping? What is this that is breaking your heart?" And he had no words to speak. It was impossible. But somehow, with great effort, he had to tell her. But he couldn't. She said, "Is it, Lakshman, that I am being exiled for the rest of my life away from my beloved Ram? Is that where you are taking me?" And Lakshman, choked up and weeping, he said, "Yes." Sita's heart broke beyond the comprehension of any mortal being. And with tears of pure love for Ram in her eyes, she spoke words that have brought immortal wisdom to the whole world. She said, "Lord Ram is my life and soul. To please him and to serve him is the only purpose of my life. If me bearing this unthinkable suffering for the rest of my life in separation from him, if this is what pleases him, if this is what I must do to best serve him, then I will gratefully accept this banishment until I leave this world." This is Bhagavad Dharma. Whatever we do in life, we must know it is a reality if it is done for the pleasure of the Lord in the service of the Lord. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shantim rishchati. Krishna declares this to be the peace formula. One who understands that Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists and that everything is meant for his satisfaction, and he is the best well-wishing friend of all, that person can achieve real peace, supreme peace. Sita Devi left when she was pregnant, and it was in the ashram of Valmiki Muni that she gave birth to Lav and Kush, who were the two most powerful and devoted acharyas, who were the very persons who narrated Sri Ramayana as they had heard from Valmiki Muni. So we should know that this standard of devotion is what we should all be striving for. This standard of devotion is what will bring real happiness and purpose to our life. And that is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. To teach people how to make their lives truly successful and blissful by not longing or aspiring for any of the pleasures of this world, but aspiring for the service of the Lord. And this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada gave to everyone. And he was especially anxious that the people of India take this gift, because it is your spiritual heritage. Bharatvarsha is the land of Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma. If you cast this away for any of the facilities of anywhere else in the world, you are cheating the world and you are the greatest loser. You are throwing away the rare gems of spirituality for the broken glass of material enjoyment, which looks shiny but will simply cut you and make you bleed and suffer. To live a pure spiritual life is very simple. Just live purely. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. Do not further incriminate yourself in karmic bondage. Associate with holy people like this wonderful assembly tonight. Hear the glories of the Lord. Enrich your intelligence and your consciousness. Bring your families. And most of all, enthusiastically, attentively, and every day, accept with a grateful heart the Yuga Dharma of the congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Thank you very much.